on the show today, a fellow Benton resident from when the walk-ons were living in Iowa City. Ike Butker joins the show from Cedar Falls to Iowa City, now to Buffalo. We sit down with the one and only Girth to talk about life, family, football, and a whole lot more. Hope you guys enjoy this episode. Let's have a day. Let's go. And we're back. This is, call it episode 425, just a guess, of the Friendship Podcast. And today we're in for an absolute treat. Ladies and gentlemen, we have the man of many nicknames here, one of our absolute best friends, Thoroughbred, Diesel, Stallion, Stallywag. The list actually goes on and on. I had a joke about him being the Diesel Weasel, but I kind of already shit on that joke because I used the name Diesel already. Sorry, folks. I just hit the hatch pen and we're ready to go, boys and girls. Ike, welcome to the podcast, baby. I'm so fucking hyped. Dude, let's fucking go.
Thanks for having me, boys. It's an absolute pleasure. And honestly, it's been too long.
Way too long.
Was the last time that we had you on, was that when Josie and Bo were also on? It's been like 3 years since your last solo episode.
Yeah, I think it was before I had kids, to be honest.
Yeah, it was. I could pull up the episode. It was Ike. I think we had you on in like the early. Fuck, I don't know, but it's been way too long. I know we meant to get you.
Shitty friends.
Yeah, we are. We meant to get you on last year. And something happened.
I think you wanted to get the contract situation done first, didn't you, Ike?
Yeah, I just didn't really. I was just chilling last year. I knew I wasn't going to be playing after I redid my Achilles, so I was just chilling.
How's the old Achilles feeling these days?
Delicious.
I've been seeing some training footage. You look like you're running pretty good.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm moving good. I'm moving real well. My body feels amazing. I'm going to send it one more time and see what happens.
So knowing that you're going to have a great season, comeback season, what are you going to do after a great comeback season? You're going to say that's good, or are you going to run it back for a nice fat contract and then see where it's at from there?
Yeah, I'm just going to see how this year goes, to be honest. I feel good. And, you know, after missing a year that was my contract year, you know, when I got hurt, it's kind of like hitting the reset button. So I'm kind of back to square one, which is fine with me. But like I said, just see what happens this year and then take it from there.
So we just had Austin Blythe on a couple of days ago, and he was like draft pick. Stuck around the league for 7 years before retiring. Did you ever think as a free agent getting signed as a free agent that you'd still be hanging around the league 5 years later?
Honestly, no. Like, going into it, I didn't really know. I mean, I'd say my junior year, I like knew I was going to have a chance, and then I popped my Achilles senior year, missed my whole senior year, so I kind of thought, you know, maybe that was the end. And then, you know, I just kind of kept climbing and had a couple good seasons, so I'm like, ooh, I'm about to get a little treat. And then
I gotta say it's been a treat watching you out there, boys. It's been an absolute treat.
I appreciate it. Yeah, I'll get back out there, boys. I feel great.
Before you got hurt, you were dominating, dude.
Yeah,
you were making football look easy, which it seems insane blocking those 1 and 3 techs.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not going to say it was easy, but I was playing good.
You were getting your work done every Sunday.
One of the last games in the regular season, 2021, right?
Yeah, I think there was – I just had a call about it today for, like, workers' comp stuff. So I think it was 4 games. I mean, playoffs included. So 4 games left in the season. So it was late in the season, which sucked, but you know, the Lord's got a plan, boys. I'm honestly not worried one bit about it.
I mean, just like you guys are having such a good year too. It's like not just the fact that obviously you're hurt and you're missing time and, you know, fucks with your contract situation, but the Bills have been on a little bit of a run here the last couple of years since Gurthy joined the squad.
We're on a bit of a heater, and we got a guy named Josh Allen who is
a
monster.
Dude, he's got a dick like a 9-pound hammer, that guy. He plays football like he's still in middle school. He's out there just fooling around.
Yeah. I mean, this is something random I just thought of, but we do Bills games during OTAs, which throwback to the Hawks is like Hawkeye Challenge. Every week we do a challenge. He won the farmer carry, so it's like 45-pound plates each hand. He walked farther with it than anyone else. I mean, he's just a specimen.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah, he's a specimen.
More than any lineman?
Yeah, I walked like 137 yards or something, and he got like 153.
Is this with a metal plate?
It's like rubber plates, so you can't you're just pinching them like this.
Oh my God, dude, that's insane.
That's hard on the hands.
Yeah. I mean, your hands are your.
Yeah, no wonder he can whip it a mile, dude. That's insane.
Yeah, he's been handling a 15-inch cock his whole life.
I was going to say,
45-pound plate ain't nothing to a,
I was gonna say,
to a pimp.
His
that is word for word what I said to him too, Drake.
Sure it is, dude. We think a lot alike.
Yeah, I know. After he beat me, I'm like, I know why. Yeah.
He seems like he'd be a really cool dude to have in the locker room.
Oh, yeah. He's the best. I mean,
he was cool as shit at tight end. You'd have no idea that he was worth $6 trillion.
Yeah. No, he's the best.
Drake, I'm hoping he's that cool again. And he wants to sit down and talk about old 2017 home opener in Kinnick Stadium.
So I actually talked to him about that while we were there. I was like, you know, he when I met him, I was talking to him about playing with George. And I was like, yeah, we played you in 2017. I was like, I really thought you were about to beat us, dude. Like, yeah, maybe we could get him.
He was trying to talk me into coming. Mm-hmm. So I think he's going to be there again. You guys can probably get him.
If we could grab him for 20 minutes, that'd be so dope.
Yeah.
I met him once at halftime. Or no, is it the coin toss?
Yeah. Kevin's like, I met him at midfield.
He's the only guy that at the beginning of the game, you know, the coin toss, he's like, you know, the captain shake hands. He's the only guy that said, hey, I'm Josh. It's like the only guy introduced himself. And I was like, oh, nice guy.
He's the GOAT.
He does just seem like an American hero. Like he's just.
Yeah.
And I think, I don't know if you guys remember, I had a lot of time to focus on other things in game prep situations. So like y'all were looking at the playbook, looking at the game plan. I get to like enjoy the headlines, right? So I'm hearing all this stuff about Josh Allen. He's he was already projected to be a high round pick, one of the best quarterbacks in the class. So I was like, all right, I get a front row seat to see some dude ball out. Evidently, he plays for Wyoming, but let's see what he's got. And even though the rest of his teammates were poop.
Dude, they actually had a linebacker that could hit really hard.
Well,
I think he still plays.
The long-haired cat?
I think so. I think he plays for the Bengals.
Our defense made their offense look like shit. But you could still tell the way he threw the ball and the way he just went about everything. You're like, okay, yeah, that's an NFL quarterback. Like he.
I mean, I don't remember. I don't know if you remember like when Josie was trying to like hawk him down that one time, or like he like traversed field like twice, like making our D lineman miss, and then Josie finally catches up with him, but like can't bring him down. They're just like sumo wrestling in the middle of the 40-yard line until somebody else shows up. But
make sure you clip this and send it to Josie. That's going to heat him up.
He's now got fire for next year, all of next year.
You know what? We need to fire up Josie more in this podcast. We used to back in the old days. We don't do it enough anymore.
When we began the pod, it was like a segment. It's like, how can we talk shit about Josie for the next 15 minutes? That was part of every podcast. And now we've really gotten away from that. I think
and when we were in Benton, 3:39, Ike and I would be sitting on the couch and we'd hear Josie come home. He'd come rolling in the door. And you know, when Josie comes home, he's pissed off, right? Josie never walked in the door with a smile on his face in the 2.5 years that I lived there.
That's fact.
And there was nobody on earth that loved to poke the bear more than Mr. Girth. And Ike would just immediately start shoving javelins into the bear. And then guess who got motherfucked? Me!
Dude, so oh God, you're bringing back memories hardcore right now. He'd walk in the door. He'd walk in the door and he'd just be like, fuck do you want, Drake?
Fuck you looking at.
It's like, I'd just be on the couch.
What is wrong with you?
If I was ever in the back, if Josie was pissed, he'd just turn and be like, I would catch strays. It's like, fuck you looking at, Kluver. What the fuck? Why was he always so wound up?
Oh, that is so funny. I mean, that was every day. We didn't take a day off.
Ever.
Bo was just plopping around doing something absurd.
Always.
That was unreal. Yeah.
But
those are good days, boys.
Speaking of Bo, we're all going to be at Bo's wedding, and there's not going to be any children there. It'll be the first time we've all been together, no kids.
Since we moved out.
Yeah, 5 years.
No, since Josie's wedding.
Since Josie's wedding, yeah.
Josie's wedding, which was still 5 years ago.
Almost yeah. 5 years ago. Yep.
No. When did they get married? Probably in like July?
Summer of 2018.
July 7th, 2018 was his wedding.
That's Josie's wedding date?
Yeah. That's the last time
we
were all
together. That's the weirdest thing ever. That's the weirdest. Oh, you just know that because of that? Or you sent him my anniversary tags?
Yeah. Him and Mick, I send him a group text that says, hey guys, your love is everlasting. And it's an inspiration to us all. When last week, when we scheduled you for tonight, Girthy, I was like, and then I started thinking about, I started thinking about Bo's wedding. I'm like, damn, the boys are going to all be back together for the first time since when? And I figured out it was Josie's wedding. And then I went back and I have a picture of us five, actually plus Wiz. Wiz was in the picture as well. We took a picture in like that frame. Do you remember?
Yeah.
And it on the frame, I think it had the date. And that's the only reason I know the date.
I got to give a speech at Bo's wedding.
You do.
I'm still undecided on how I'm going to go with that.
You got a jab and needle just as much as you possibly can.
You've got to drop.
What I would say, read the room, like feel the room, feel the vibe, because you're going to start out and you're probably going to like give one joke, see how it reacts. If everybody's like in the laughing mood, you know, just start digging him under the fucking bus.
No, we're talking about the Bowers and the Schlitter family. Dude, there's no limit to what you can say there. You can say anything.
That feels fair.
I know, yeah. But Bo's only been all but, you know, nice to me, so I can't just destroy him for no
reason.
This
was our last day.
Sure you can, boys. This is the roast of Bo Bower.
That it is the celebrity roast of Bo Bower. It really is.
And you know that there's enough ammo. I mean, you've got more ammo on Bo than Bo has real ammo. Like, that's...
Yeah.
And yeah. You listen to Bo's episode. He talked about hunting for half of it. So, I mean...
He just knows all that. And the Paulsons episode is fantastic.
Dude, Ike, tell me that those guys don't need to start a YouTube channel.
I text them immediately.
They would do so well.
Way that they talk it's unbelievable.
So you guys, I've been contacted by four different people, two emails to the Washed Up Walk-Ons email account and two DMs specifically asking for their contact information for various things. And every single person has said, you guys are right. They are absolutely stars. If they just were like, if they were making content. And then today in the Discord, somebody was asking about their Asian flair on a pork burger. And I was like, there it is. The first thing they need to do is come out with the fucking Paulson's cookbook.
But I think, but no, they would sell so many more copies of that cookbook if they did the YouTube thing first.
Yeah, you're right.
Show the hunting content. Show them killing the bear that they got the tag for this year. Show them killing the elk. Boom. The way that they're like so eloquent in describing the breakdown of the meat and the hunting process and things like that. They don't say, yeah, I went out and killed it and I gutted it. They use all these like eloquent terms. People would fall over for their content. Then they'd sell a bazillion cookbooks and now they're fucking Emeril Lagasse.
Ike, do you remember the first time they walked into the O-line room? What do you remember about them?
Just the absolute goofballs. Yeah. I mean, from day one, like the word diesel started there.
Started right there.
Every morning they'd just be slugging black coffee. Just get some diesel in you, boys.
Like they sent me a mason jar of what they labeled bear diesel. It's bear grease from a bear they killed a couple years ago. Labeled it bear diesel.
Unfucking real.
Yeah, those guys are absolute legends. And listening to them talk and explain just conditioning and running, and like those are the grittiest dogs of all time.
Grittiest. They
grit dogs.
They were dragging trailers when they ran, boys.
Yeah. It was, yeah, they're animals. I mean, nothing but good things to say about those two.
They lost a lot of weight, and I can't wait to see the transformation that the Girthmeister here makes once his playing days are over. Cause I remember him walking in at tight end at about 230 pounds. I was actually remember guarding him in one-on-ones every now and then. And now this man's a freaking offensive guard in the NFL.
It's going to be at least 80. It's going to be at least 80 pounds.
You were 240 when you came in, Ike, right?
Yeah. I put some weight on like from high school to college.
Yeah, I know, because I guarded you the previous winter in basketball. And this was Ike's first experience of me. I had never met Ike before. They were good at basketball. You guys had twins that were younger, a class younger.
They're my class, but yeah.
Okay, so they were in our class. How'd you guys end up that year, by the way?
We lost in the semis to go to the championship game.
So you did, but you did go to the well.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you're top four team in the state, right? They outsized us. I mean, every team did, but they outsized us by a foot, damn near a foot average. I was guarding Ike. I was guarding Ike. He's already committed to Iowa at this point. And I was already committed to Iowa at this point. And so I didn't give a fuck. And we're in Cedar Falls. We're getting beat by 30. And I look at Ike at the top of the key and I said, if you want a dunk, I will step aside and give it to you right now. And he did not believe me. And then I don't know how many months it took, but a few months into being at Iowa in the dorms, Ike goes, Kluver, I'm so pissed, because if I would have known that you weren't kidding, I would have had a
damn that shit.
I would have hammered it so hard during our basketball. Yeah, I mean, it was fantastic.
That was funny, Clove. You and Gimble, right?
Yeah, he was our only person worth a shit.
Good times.
That was my first impression of Ike. And then, were you at the? Did you do the Shrine Bowl that summer?
Yeah, I heard you and Bo talking about that, and I was on the team that we were doing like hopscotch and jumping jacks, and you guys are smashing skulls. And I'm like, I don't care if we lose by 100, I'm not doing that. You guys did beat us by 100, and I didn't care.
We won 35-7 or something, but who gives a shit, right? Unbelievable. Everything's happened so fast after that. It felt like that week. And then the next week we were at Iowa and it was like, all right, we're teammates and fucking Bo is here and Josie's here and everyone, the whole gang is here. I'll still never forget when we were at the Marriott. Don't have a seizure, Kevin. When we were at the Marriott and we had that last dinner with our families. And then it was like we all walked outside to kind of like that back patio and they put us in the vans. It's like, all right, here we go.
Bags over your head, zip tied your hands behind your back.
Camp
say goodbye to your family. You're never going to see them again.
Yeah, well, it felt like that a little bit. And it is so great. Like at the time, you guys had met each other. I was brand new. At the time, you look back and it's like, we didn't know that we were all going to live at Benton together, like that us five or six guys were going to become like close friends.
But we're all pretty sure we were going to hate you. We were right.
Yeah.
This is true. And that was sort of collective. But hey, I'm still here.
Here we are.
It's funny that you bring that up, though, because I do remember, and it makes a whole lot of sense now, looking back at it 10 years later, is that Ike was one of those guys that people just kind of like
gravitated towards.
Like, yeah, it's like, I don't know who I'm going to like, who I'm going to be friends with, but I'm pretty sure that guy's all right.
This guy for sure.
Yeah, I fuck with that guy.
You're that.
I just like to have a good time, boys.
And that's why people love you, man. I mean, I almost feel bad for you because this, how many best mans have you been now? This is like number three or four for you.
I think just Pete.
Pete is it just Pete? Oh, well, you're in like 18 different weddings a year, it feels like, because you're a very popular guy and everyone loves you. But
hey, it's Peter Harmon, the food guru, here to talk about Gray's Gourmet to Go. At Gray's Gourmet to Go, we are madly and passionately in love with three things: chicken lips, pizza, and great food to go. Chicken lips are the most beloved food in Iowa City. And if you don't know what a chicken lip is, you're really missing out. Our second passion is pizza. We're hell-bent on making great pizza. Yeah, you can get cheap pizza anywhere. But if you're a real pizza aficionado, you gotta try our meatball pizza. It's made with a natural starter. And like sourdough bread, it's soft and crispy and light as air. And the third thing that we're wildly and passionately in love with is great food to go. We believe you want to feed your family something great at home, but you're too busy with life to stop and cook. That's why we built Gray's Gourmet to Go. So the next time you need to feed the gang and you don't feel like cooking, just come to graysgourmettogo.com.
Quick break to give some love to one of our biggest partners right now. That's right. You guessed it. Pork. Bacon, ground pork, ham, pork roast, pork belly, ribs, pork loin, pork shoulder, and pork sausage. You name it. You're probably hungry now. Nutritionally speaking, animal proteins are top of the line. They are nutrient dense and satiating, helping to promote less overconsumption of calories and a better body composition. Pig farmers today are raising more pork using less land, water, and energy than ever before. And the manure from the pigs is then used to fertilize next year's corn crop, all in an effort to continue to try and become more efficient. We've mentioned multiple times how before we ever came into this partnership, my personal favorite stop at the state fair every year was for a pork burger at the Pork Producers Building. And every home game against Minnesota, Kevin and his family bust out the best pork chops available. The walk-ons and pork are a match made in heaven. Put some pork on your plate today.
I mean, I think that there's just so many... there's so many good guys that we played with at Iowa, and starting there. And then I go to the NFL, and just our front office does a fantastic job of bringing in a lot of just Iowa type guys that, you know, for the team, not really care about themselves. I mean, you have NFL's a whole different thing, but just in general, when you talk to other guys from different teams, it's not like that everywhere. So I've honestly just been lucky to be around so many fun guys. And, you know, now I have two kids and a wife, and I really just enjoy spending time with them.
Legendary kids.
Yeah, I know. The kids are amazing. Katie's amazing. So I feel bad that I lose contact with, you know, a lot of guys that I enjoy, but there's just only so much time in a day. And whenever I get time to hang out with guys or talk with the boys, it's like the absolute best. It just instantly best. It's instantly just back. The boys are back.
Oh yes.
Whoopsie.
Well, you mentioned how Buffalo brings in a bunch of like Iowa cool ass type guys. And this is gonna be one of my questions for you, because I like this question a lot. Top five favorite teammates that you've played with in the NFL.
Okay, that's a great question.
And it doesn't have to be one through five, just like five guys.
Yeah. These aren't going to be in any order, but I mean, I'll start with the easiest one, Josh. I mean, he reminds me a lot of Siege. I tell people that a lot, just the way, you know, how he led the team and threw his body anywhere, could throw it a mile, but loves ball, but like loves
Also, like a really good locker room guy.
Yeah, like he'll text me to come over to his house whenever. Bring the kids, you know. That's very rare. He built a house just to have people over, and so having him as like the centerpiece kind of sets the tone, keeps a lot of guys in check that maybe they're like, oh, I can't really act out of control if the big dog is acting like that. So he sets the tone basically for everything. Our center, Mitch Morse, I've been with him. This will be our fifth year together, and I actually met him in Kansas City when I was there for 10 days. He's fantastic. Just a great guy. He's from Austin, Texas, and then he played at Mizzou. And this place center, super freakish athlete, and just like the team dad, just an absolute goat.
What is it with centers and being the team dad? Blythe was the team dad. You got Mitch Morse, the team dad. I feel like Jason Kelsey's the team dad for the Eagles.
We had Blythe on 2 days ago.
They're like the quarterback of the O-lines. You know, they got to make all the calls, keep everybody together. They just kind of have to live in that world a little bit. I'd say Spencer Brown from UNI is definitely in my top five. Just a big, goofy dog. He's hilarious and just a great dude.
Did you at some point, like you and Spencer, talk about me? Because he randomly followed me on Instagram one time, and then we talk all the time on Instagram, messaging each other back and forth. We don't know each other. Neither of us ever met each other.
So to answer that question perfectly, his Instagram is the same as your Instagram,
yes.
But his is on close friends only.
Yes.
Oh, shit. You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
For those that are unaware of what Ike's trying to allude to here, Drake posts. Well, Drake basically. I don't know how Drake's not kicked off Instagram.
I tried to get kicked off Instagram. I called them cunts and fucking.
You've had communists. No less than half a dozen posts taken down. I know that.
Yeah.
Man, it's over a dozen.
That explains that. Number, another one, Dawson Knox, our tight end. He's
awesome. Oh, I gotta ask you about him. So the fiance is an Ole Miss alum. We saw you down in Oxford the other week.
Dude, I didn't know that. I wish I would have known that before we went.
Did you guys go out to the bars at all?
We went out to eat at an Italian spot. And then we went to the LSU Ole Miss baseball game that night. And then the next morning we woke up and his buddy from college did a crawfish broil, which brought me right back to spring game.
Mm-hmm.
But this guy was doing like crab legs. I mean, it was like, I'm like, this guy, he knows.
It looked absolutely insane. And so from what I've heard from Alyssa is that baseball games there are a fucking riot.
Oh, it was insane. I'm like, if baseball games were like this at Iowa, I would have gone to every single one.
Did they hit any home runs there at that game?
Yeah, they hit one and threw the
did they do the beer showers? Then,
yeah. Jeez. But then LSU hit a grand, and then LSU fans did a beer shower on the Ole Miss fans. It was so
beautiful. Oh,
that's tough.
That's a tough people.
Yeah.
But it's on my list to go down to Oxford for a game this year at some point.
Dude, you've got to. And it looked like there was a couple cool golf courses if you have time.
Yeah. You can always make time for hitting the links up a little bit.
Yeah. And then we went to Morgan Wallen concert, that first concert in the football stadium. And that was fun. But Doss just bought like a suite and invited a bunch of people. Like, that's the kind of guy he is. He's just
a legend
for the boys all the time.
Alyssa would like a opportunity to get him on the podcast if you could make that happen.
I was just going to say, if we get him, awesome. Is he going to be at tight end? You?
Oh, yeah.
I think he is. Oh, I think
he's a Nashville guy.
Yeah. He lives in Nashville. I think he had like a family trip, but he's going to be at some of it. Okay. You should definitely try to get him there.
Absolutely. I'm pulling the Ike car. Hey, Dawson. Yo, my boy Ike said you're good for 20 minutes. Sit your ass down.
He'll do it.
Guy looking around, who's the 5'9 bald fucker?
Who's this oddly jacked guy? But like, he's a shrimp.
I'm not going to flex on anybody except for Will Compton if he's there. I will.
Kluver, your workout videos look unreal.
Yeah, I'm a little bit to the extreme. We've taken a different route since the last time. In fact, you have seen everybody else, Ike. We talked about how all the guys together have not been in the same spot. That's the last time that I personally saw you in person. I think you've seen everybody else since then. I have not seen you.
Mm-hmm. You two person. Haven't seen each other in person since Josie's wedding?
5 years.
What?
I've seen Bo this last fall. Kevin, obviously, I see you more than most. Drake, I've come out to stay with you and saw you at the Big Ten Championship.
You need to come out to the new place, dude.
I know. Well, we might be in September, like I told you. And Josie.
Oh, yeah.
I would have seen Josie at my wedding, which is where Ike was, I think, at a different wedding or had something already planned that weekend. It's been a long ass time. I have not. I'm going to fucking hug Ike like a teddy bear when I see him.
Same.
Yeah, I'm going to kiss the top of your head.
The last time that we saw each other, I was 50 pounds heavier.
I know.
That's I was nutty. 50 pounds closer to you.
I'm still massive.
Yeah, I know you're massive. What do you weigh?
Like 325 probably right now.
There is nothing like getting a big old 325-pound hug from Ike, though.
Oh, dude, it's the best. Unless you're a D lineman who's trying to get to Josh. Yeah, man, it's we would love to talk to Dot. I mean, literally, we're gonna be like, we'll suck off anybody we can at tight end.
You, that's by we, you mean you will suck off.
Anybody. I'll suck anybody off, and yeah, it doesn't matter.
That's it. You'll just do that for anyone.
They don't even have to come on the podcast. I'll just suck them off. We're even taking
who's number G-Bone? Five, though. Oh, yeah, we are taking G-Bone. G-Bone is coming with us to Nashville about
as he deserves.
Dude, it's been, 3 months, G-Bone, since you've been on the podcast?
Yeah, about right when this semester started.
So like 4 months, 3 months, whatever it is.
4 months, sure.
And he said, basically, quote, I had absolutely no idea what I was getting myself into with this podcast.
In a good way. In a good way, of course.
Grant sent the biggest home run swing he could have as he's sitting at home over winter break, and it turned into a trip into tight end. You, I mean, it doesn't get much better than that.
I just can't wait to see what happens for Grant in the next year and a half, and
same.
If this either propels his career. Or it's just an absolute asterisk, black mark, scrub it from the records. Like, oh, you can't be associated with those people and get a job.
Not on his resume. Doesn't ever talk to us again. Yeah. He asked us to take down all the episodes that he was in. Maybe. Who knows?
We're pulling for the best for you, G-Bone.
Yeah.
I appreciate it.
Ike, going back to the Josh thing about him just being a little bit like CJ. How goddamn important is it to have a guy like that? And they're so hard to find because some of it is just innate. Like CJ just is the way he is. He's just a guy.
The most competitive human to ever walk the earth. And just CJ's in the conversation.
And a guy that people will follow, right? And it's, there's a little bit of that. You can become a leader as you grow up and you, but CJ had that more than other guys do. I'm not one of those guys, right? And even so, you three sitting here, CJ just has it, and I don't know what it is, more than almost everybody else. And it sounds like the way you describe Josh is the same thing. And it's so important. Like that literally, you talk about how it literally can set the tone for an entire team. I mean, it's a culture setter. It's like how KF used to talk about Bob Sanders. Like it's nuts. So it must be awesome to be around him. And you send Snapchats and he's on your Snap stories and Insta stories all the time. It's pretty fun to see you and him mesh, to be honest.
Yeah, he's just a normal dude.
And he buys you,
that's what makes it work.
Christmas presents, the whole line.
Yeah, he's the GOAT.
What did he get for you guys this last year?
He got us those big scooters that you can – ride. They have the golf cart wheels on them, so you can put your golf, like it can be a golf cart if you want it to be.
Oh,
it's got a little speaker on it, cooler on it. It's nutty.
Are you whipping that around the country club in the off season?
I don't know. I just
that's a damn shame really. If you don't, man.
That's not how I roll, boy.
Is that
I like to keep it regular,
dude? You can strap me into that bag holder. I'll fucking carry your bag.
As long as you're sitting in my lap, I'll do it if you're sitting in my lap, big boy.
Yes.
So I know you had to take last year off of swinging the club around because of the Achilles. Are we back up and running this year? Because you were getting pretty damn good the previous year.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm doing all right. I've only played probably 3 rounds this year. We got to play this summer for sure, Kev.
We got to, man.
Yeah. I'll get some rounds in the summer. Not a crazy amount, but you probably understand, Clue. Once you have kids at home, like, and I'm already gone a lot with football workouts, to go golf for 4 hours, I'm just like, I just don't feel correct doing it all the time. If I get up real early and go or go like during their naps, okay. But, you know, if it's more than 4 hours, I'm itching. Even 2.5, 3, I'm kind of like, all right, I want to just go home.
It's hey, not man, that's why you can call it quits at 9 holes, right?
I know, but I can't play 9 holes either. Got to play. Got to make the turn. I'm just getting warm at about 9.
And it's not that you don't want to do it. It's that missing out on time with the kids is it like hurts your heart. At least in my like.
Yeah, it's just different. And Katie's not like a psycho or anything. Like it's no pressure from her. It's just.
Yeah,
I'm gone for like 6-7 months basically straight. So when I have time to hang out with them, I like to, and I can golf. And I'm going to be way better at golf when I weigh 240 anyway.
Dude, you're going to be insane.
I think that just shows
how good of a dad you are, boys.
Did you like golf before we got to Benton Street and you guys would go crush in the summers like 2-3 times a week, or was it a thing?
No, that's when I started liking it again.
Okay, so
I golfed growing up a little bit, but
sure.
I mean, that was fun when we played those scrambles. That was way fun.
Dude, there was nothing better than a scramby that involved Pete Picar, man.
Dude, I think I remember we got like it was our senior year summer, and we had like 5 groups out and we did like a scramble tournament, and you, Katie, and I forget who your third was,
won that.
Was it Bo? Yeah. Because
what did we call that? The Waterbury Open.
The Waterbury Open. There you go. And for everyone listening, Bo was shit back then.
Bad.
But Katie would just absolutely
drain
putts from 30 feet out. It was absolutely insane. Because I remember, Drake, you and I were in their group. It was like 4 other twosomes.
We were literally like,
we were bringing up the rear.
What is going on?
Yeah. And Katie could not miss a birdie putt. Absolutely could not. It was impossible.
Katie was goaded.
She's still goaded.
Dude,
she's
and then on top of that.
She just doesn't like it.
Then on top of that, she got to play from the forward tees, and she can hit the ball well. So she hits every fairway basically at the same place. We're hitting our tee shots, but we're only finding the fairway half the time she is. It was like watching fucking Tiger out there just take all our coin.
Did she golf in high school?
No, but her dad's really good at golf, and she golfed since she was young. And the best part about that was Gervais and
Josie
were just complaining and talking about how we were cheating, and that's the best part. You know that I love that, Drake. So you know that's my favorite part.
And when Josie and Jake are both on the same side of misery, that can be really, really funny. Like extremely.
And I think they were on the same team.
Oh, that's tough.
I remember Josie just hitting that fucking 2-foot 4 hybrid. That was his favorite club. It was like 1.5 too short for him. And,
Josie on the golf course would definitely get needle. You could get him riled up a little bit. So,
but nobody worse than Gervais. As much as I love to needle Josie, Gervais is my number one of all time humans to ever walk the earth to needle.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, that's for sure.
It's Gervais is the kind of guy that'll put he'll throw the clubs in the cart and go home if you get him pissed off enough. Like he will. Jake is a one of a kind. I know we talked about this just a little bit ago in the group chat, but once we get this, when we finally get our shit together and we have the walk-on golf tourney, you are going to be one of our celebrity hawks. And
oh, yes.
We'll pair you with.
Yeah, I'm all in on that.
Yeah.
I'm all in on that, boys.
We're going to try and raise a bazillion dollars for the kids on that one.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Eventually, but at this point, I mean, we're just
tight. You're going to do it in Des Moines? You're going to do a couple of them?
So when I was living in Nashville, dude, I tried really hard to get courses to get everything. Dude, we had Pete and Kim in on it. We had a list of guys 30 long that we were going to ask, former Hawks, and just see how many guys would be willing to come back. We had everything planned out, and none of the courses would make exceptions for us. We tried three different courses. They're all like, a couple of them were like, no, we don't have time slots. I was like, this is kind of a big event. And they're like, yeah, we just don't have time slots. And then Waveland wouldn't let us bring Pete and Kim in. Nobody wanted to host it. It was like, Drake and I, fuck, what are we doing here?
Drake and I actually sat down for like 2 1-hour off the clock meetings together on Zoom, put together a list of all of the the whole gimmicks that we were going to use, closest to the keg, all this fun stuff, right? Closest to the pin, every hole was going to have something. We put together ideas for like the gift bag that you'd get as being a part of it, the financials behind it, how much it was going to cost per group, all this stuff, potential courses, potential guest golfers to pair with each set of four. And then I think we hit up 4 or 5 different golf courses in Des Moines and like 2 or 3 on the east side of the state. And we just struck out. And then by the time any sort of extra conversation went down, like it was fucking March or April. And like nobody had, they were all like, yeah, it's just too close. Like we can't, it was like, all right, fuck it. Fuck everybody. But eventually when we do it, ideally we'd be able to do one on the east side of the state and one in Des Moines, because our two biggest listenership areas are Des Moines and Iowa City. And if you think about it, to fill, first of all, there's thousands of dudes who might not even listen to us who are looking for a reason to golf, right? So if they have friends that listen to us, they're like, hey, can you join our foursome for this walk-on golf tournament? People are going to be like, yeah, why not? 18 holes, 4 guys per hole. You're looking at 72 dudes. Like, it's not hard to sell out and fill a golf event. So we'll probably do one on the east side, one on the in Des Moines, and hopefully raise a shitload of money. But
think about this though, Ike. Like, as big of a, it's like the biggest fuck you ever to Waveland, the one that really turned us down about the catering, because they weren't willing to work with us when we were going to bring a huge amount of business and publicity to their course, being that there were going to be former Hawks play in the NFL just walking all over their course. Like, just
where's that even at?
It's in Des Moines.
Yeah.
They're going to have an event that raises a pile of money for the Children's Hospital. They're now affiliated with Iowa football. Like, and they turned it down over some fucking catering.
We were going to pay the $2,500 catering fee on top of, we were just going to give it to
as
them
a gift, just to say, okay, now I paid your catering fee. Give your caterers the day off. We're bringing our caterers in. They asked us what we were serving. We said we were going to serve them chicken lips. And they're like, ah, yeah, chicken dish. We can't take the liability of some bad chicken getting served. So can't do it.
It was cool.
Can you imagine what my reaction was like?
I actually can.
Yeah. It's like, oh God. Yeah. Back to your, I want to ask about a specific teammate, Ike. Fuck was his name? Who was the backup quarterback who was big into crypto?
Yeah, Matt Barkley.
Barkley. What
he's
kind
still
of guy?
In the squad.
He's still there.
Does he still have any money left?
Yeah, I think.
I mean, the crypto market's been tough for about 18 months.
Yeah.
But you always talk about him as like this super heady guy, smart dude. What is he like?
Yeah, he's from California, so he's just in all those circles. And I mean, he was just way ahead of the game on all that stuff. And obviously it's gotten pooed on lately. But I still think the technology and the stuff that he's in, I mean, I don't think it can lose, to be honest, like in the long run. I mean, obviously he's taken some hits, but
he played at USC.
You know, those tech. Yeah.
He's at USC.
And he's
legend,
been all
dude.
Over. Yeah, he's been all. He played at USC, though, when they had all those, you know, those suspensions and everything. They couldn't go to bowl games. Mm-hmm. But he was a mom, and he's a great dude.
We just talked about that with Blythe. We were talking about Pete Carroll.
Oh, yeah. Blythe's the GOAT. I haven't seen Blythe in a long time. I have his O-line coach that he had when he played for the Rams down in Buffalo, and our line coach is also the GOAT.
What, are you going to make it to Sean's wedding here in the summer?
Welsh Daddy?
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Blythe will be there. He'd be good to see some of the other folks around from the playing days as well, outside of our classes.
Yeah, it'll be a good summer of weddings.
Ike, you where was I just going to go with that? I just forgot. Somebody else ask a question.
How's dad life doing, man? I like we talked about it a little bit before, but you are the American dad. That is you. I want to know Katie's not a huge human.
About to ask him here, Kevin?
How do you create a monster little 3-year-old that could beat the shit out of most 10-year-olds?
I mean, honestly, it's. Well, Katie stays home with them, so she feeds them fantastic food.
It's a fucking party all day long, isn't it?
Yeah, he gets really good sleep, and she's just amazing with them. And then when I get home, we got to wrestle.
It's just a circus.
We got to do, you know, we got to get the testosterone flowing, so I got to wrestle. I got to play some football because I can't just have them around mom and sister all day and getting soft. So I rough him up a little bit. He eats more food than I do. I mean,
dude, he'll just put away avocados straight.
He was eating, I don't know if the video of him eating an onion like an apple.
It's just insane.
He just crushes it.
When you take videos of them and they do something funny and then you laugh your ass off, it's the best thing I've ever seen. It's because you're just like these little gremlins are just they're just destroying the earth. They're just everywhere, and you're just laughing as it happens. It's so great, man. It's hilarious.
I cannot wait. Yeah, I cannot wait to see Clay grow up and just start demolishing kids on a football field. Because
hopefully you guys all have Drake. You get your stuff figured out. You have some kids.
Started a round of TRT today. Got the needle in my ass.
I'm not trying to put you on blast, but you always say you don't have kids. You'll be a good dad. We need some good dads around.
I appreciate that.
That's never been the question. I think we all can agree that I've told Drake that he's going to be a good dad. It's more so Drake being worried that he's going to pass on something that's in his head to his offspring.
I don't know how that works. I'm just saying, boys, we need the most normal humans. We need to be pumping some kids out because
that's not great for Drake then. Drake's not normal. Drake's nowhere near it. He's at least 3 standard deviations off.
3? That's the 99th percentile, ain't it? That's
brother, you ain't you're 1%. You are.
Let's go. 1%. I'm one of the 1%ers, boy.
Just look.
I think having a kid will bring him. It'll bring him back to center a little bit.
See, here's the thing, though. It's like I don't care where you are in the nature versus nurture debate. Either way, Drake's kid's fucked.
You're right. You're so right. It's like pick your poison. Which one? You know. If you, Kevin, if you had to choose, you're given the choice for Drake's offspring to let them sway more towards the nature or the nurture side of things. Which do you want to take over?
Oh, man.
Gotta go nurture. You gotta go nurture.
No, I'm going nature.
No. No. I mean,
dude. There is a rational sane Drake in there in the nature.
You're right.
There is 100%.
I think if you gave Drake's offspring up to be raised by a normal family, then they'd probably do okay.
So I got to put him up.
Yeah. You might have to, buddy.
You might have to, buddy. Like, he's your son.
It's what's best for him.
Ike, what do you think? Clay is what, 3?
Yeah, he just turned 3.
God, what a stallion. 3 years of being a dad. What do you think is the biggest change or realization or thing that has blossomed in you as a human since putting other humans on the earth?
Yeah, that's a great question. I mean, first of all, I'd start with, if anyone that you talk to is like, yeah, like parenting is pretty easy, they're doing a trash job. Like, I'm not even going to sugarcoat it. Doing it correctly it's just not easy. I mean, you're not sleeping, so you're already like on edge. And I don't even get up with the kids, but I'm a light sleeper. I got to get my sleep just to be able to work out and function and play football. And that's like the most important thing is sleep. So I would just say I didn't understand, I guess, how much work and effort it takes to do it correctly. But I do see as time goes on, like it gets easier. And when the second one turned, like when my daughter turned like 1.5 and she's almost 2 now, I saw like a big, big change. They get along good most of the time. And honestly, just, you know, you learn a bunch of stuff from different people. Everybody's got an opinion on what's best to do, how they did it. You know, you got to sift through all that and kind of figure out what's going to work for you and your kids. And nobody knows, you know, your kids better than you. So, and a lot of people have very strong opinions. So kind of just figuring out everything as you go, like there's no, you know, you can read as many books as you want, but there's things that are going to come up that you just didn't expect. And I would just say it's made me into a much more mature human, which, you know, I've always been reasonable, but there's just a way of going about life that I want to, you know, lead them kind of in the right direction as the father and as the dad and as a husband. So, you know, I kind of start there and think about that when I'm making decisions.
Well, you're currently crushing because your kids are awesome.
I appreciate that, Drake. We're doing the best we can.
Clayton's going to be an absolute stallion. We all know that. When are we going to have? When are we going to have the talk with young Clayton?
Oh, dude.
Oh. No, but Kevin, that's a real thing, though. That's a real thing. Ike's sitting there like thinking, God damn, like this is when you have a kid.
It's really not that far away, you know?
Like I looked at Lauren the other day and I said, you know, we had a daughter. So the talk when that comes around is probably going to fall on you. She's probably not going to want to have that with her dad, right? So, and Lauren just goes, I know. I'll figure it out.
I mean, think back to what we were talking about earlier, that last meal before camp that send us off in the vans.
Mm.
That was as far away as the talk is for your kids.
Yeah.
Almost 100%. Well, for Ike's, for sure.
Yeah, I mean,
that's 10 years. That is crazy.
That was 10 years ago, bro.
Yeah. I mean, I think I'm going to have the talk with them in under 10 years. I mean, probably right around then.
Well, the problem is nowadays is all of like they're going to learn it from somebody, right?
Yeah, you want to be the one. I'd say just whenever he starts asking questions.
Yeah, you gotta just.
It's when it's pretty obvious that kids are talking about it.
Because if you let them just run around on the, if you just let them run around on the playground and have some like kid that's 2 grades older start talking nonsense, they're gonna come home and just they're gonna have. I mean, it's just. I mean, having kids.
I'm gonna lay it out. I'm gonna lay it out. Yeah, I'm gonna lay it out real simple for him. I'm going to make it real simple because it's not too complicated. We're just going to keep it real simple. You guys know.
You know exactly what you're saying, dude.
You know, yeah, there's very little to talk about. It's just going to be talked about, and there's not going to be any deviations from that. This is the way God made it, and that's the way it is.
I think the best part about the 5 months of me being a dad so far was you do not realize how much you can put somebody else first until you have it. Like, kid will throw up on me and shit their pants, and like everything is going on, and you're just like, cool, I'm second here. We're going to make sure the kid is good first, and I'll clean myself up later. Like, it doesn't matter, right? And yeah, it's just like, or, you know, kids pissed in the middle of the night, just having an absolute meltdown. And you're like, I, you know, 3 years ago would have loved to have been asleep at 2:30 in the morning, right? But now you have one focus. And until you, it's like you don't even think about yourself. At least, I guess, if you're, I'm sure there's some parents out there who think about themselves first, but it's wild how selfless you can be once you pop out a human. It's crazy.
Yeah, it's fun. G baby, you'll get there.
Did you say G baby?
Yeah. I didn't. I'm not sure he knew G-daddy. That you were addressing him. G bone, when are you gonna have kids?
Hopefully, a very long time from now.
Oh shit.
I remembered what I was going to ask about. You mentioned that you were with the Chiefs for 10 days. Can you run us through like that 10-day span of like you being in Buffalo, the Chiefs like pick you up off waivers or whatever, and then you get reclaimed by the Bills? Like, what is that? What is something like that like?
Yeah. I was just thinking about this, actually going through this last rehab for this other Achilles, because at 6 months – after my one in college is when I did pro day. Yeah. And at 6 months after this one, like thinking about that was just absurd to think about. Like, I cannot believe I did pro day 6 months after. So then it made sense why I didn't really feel good my whole rookie season. So got through training camp. I knew I was going to get released and they're going to put me on practice squad, which was honestly going to be fine for the first year. So they released me, the Chiefs claimed me on their roster. And, you know, like I said, they basically told me when they claimed me, like, hey, we know you're coming off this Achilles. We just want you to get better this year. They didn't really explain anything other than that. So after a week, they released me and tried to put me on practice squad, basically, and for like a rehab year. They had just walked, what's that safety's name? Eric Berry.
Yep.
Yeah, who did an Achilles. So they're like, we just did an Achilles rehab, so we kind of know where you're at, where you might be missing, you know, because I was about a year out from there and still just not doing well, doing as well as I needed to be. So I'm like, all right, that sounds good. Like, let's do it. I'm driving to the Chiefs facility to sign my new practice squad contract, and the Bills claim me back to their roster, like, 15 minutes before that close. So I played, the Chiefs played in Los Angeles. This was before the Chargers moved, or San Diego. Then I flew back to Kansas City, released. Then I flew back to Buffalo because Buffalo claimed me. This was after training, you know, after I initially left Buffalo. And then I played the Chargers again. I mean, I wasn't playing in the game, but we played the Chargers again. And then I've been there ever since.
And this communication is like all going through your agent, right?
Yeah. I mean, you see like when guys get released, they go on the waiver wire or whatever. So teams have like 24 hours to claim you. And I did not think that the Bills were going to claim me back after the Chiefs released me. But then when I did get back to Buffalo, the GM was not thrilled with me because he's like, why don't you just stay here on practice squad? I'm like, what? I just made like more money than I thought I was going to make this whole year in like 2 weeks, buddy.
And how does that work? Because you were on active.
I never made it to a pro. Yeah, I never made it to the practice squad. But he was like mad because when the Chiefs cut me, I didn't go right back to the Bills, who I'd spent training camp with. But at that point in the NFL, you could get paid more than, like, now it's like kind of a flat rate for practice squad. You could pay guys like active roster money to be on practice squad. And that's what the Chiefs offered me to do. So I was like,
holy shit,
I'm definitely going to do that. I just graduated college. I'm looking to stack as much cheese as possible.
Yeah, we're trying to stack that cheddar high, boys.
Yeah, I'm not here. I'm not here for the, yeah, whatever.
Did when you went through that? So that's like a crazy 10 days, right? Like that's sort of you're back and forth, and this is early on in your career. Does that leave you with a trauma's an exaggerative word, but like a little bit of like
trust issues?
Yeah, like you know, for the next year, or even like maybe even till now, you're just waiting for like that businessy back and forth transactional side to come back, and like you have to deal with that bullshit. Because now, since that day, you've been so like fortunate that you've like just it's been Buffalo all the way, and you haven't had to deal with any of that bullshit. And I've thought about that multiple times, how you see guys. I mean, we just had Austin on. He's not out yet. He'll be Thursday's podcast, but even he was like in Seattle, LA, Chiefs. I mean, like he bounced around.
Colts, he got drafted by the Colts.
A lot of guys do. And it's like, and it's nice to be able to plant your family a little bit, right?
Yeah. I mean, I was lucky enough to be kind of by myself at that point.
That's true. Yeah.
I wasn't married. I got married that next off season. And I don't think that it wasn't trauma for me. I honestly think I'm honestly blessed that it happened to me, because I just got a whole different perspective on how the whole thing worked.
Sure.
Right from the get go. Like some guys, you know, they get drafted at a certain level or they get a contract and they think that what happened to me maybe can't happen to them. Like, no, it can happen to you tomorrow. It can happen to anybody. I mean,
anybody,
excluding maybe Josh, you know, like a Josh Allen or
Jack
Von, you know, like your top. Yeah. The goat.
We got to talk about it. We got to talk about him. But yeah, that is crazy. Like, unless you're.
It just changed my mindset. Like, I'm just like, I say this to people. It's like, when you walk in the facility every day, what's the worst thing that can happen? You get caught. Okay. Somebody else will pick me up.
Yeah, true. And if you don't have that mindset, then you're probably not going to last very long anyway.
You got to have at least a baseline confidence in yourself. Like
going back to Gervas, we actually talked to him. I think Kevin actually separately. You, Kev, didn't you send him a text message when he texted you like in the middle of the season about he thought he was going to quit or something?
Oh, yeah. I was Snapchatting him and he was just like, he was like, dude, I'm fucking miserable right now. I'm just like, I sent him a snap back. I'm like, dude, go fuck yourself. You're playing in the NFL for thousands and thousands of dollars. I would fucking kill to have your spot right now. He's like, yeah, you're probably right.
Well, and Gervas luckily has been with the same team, but even within the same organization, Gervas has gone through these swings of like P squad, get cut, released, brought back, training camp, active roster in the middle of the year, ends up being on active roster through a Super Bowl, cut, futures con. Like he's been through every single thing, and it's like, God, it messes with your emotions a little bit.
Yeah, it does. It'll get to you, and it'll destroy your mentals if you let it, honestly.
The Jack Campbell, the one and only, just got drafted, what was it,
19th, I think,
to the Detroit Lions.
Feels very bad that he's got to go to Detroit, because T just told us that Detroit is it's a pretty big fucking bummer.
Yeah, but
my buddy Ross, you guys know Ross Pierce-Rocker.
Yeah,
he's there. Mm. He said it's solid.
Well, it's not the city.
I mean, I know, but you're not even really in the city. You think Jack Campbell's going to be out in the city, boys?
No,
he's going to be in the
stadium.
Woods.
I know the
stadium.
He's going to
have his head in the playbook.
I have no idea where their facility is at. But yeah, I spent a weekend downtown Detroit last year for wrestling nationals, and I have no need to ever go back. It's not great.
Jack probably asked if they had a bed at the complex when they brought him there after the draft this past week. And I mean, it's like that guy was.
Yeah, we got to talk about this. Like, man, you called his shot.
How wild is it to see it literally come to fruition? You called it.
You called it.
This is your boy. You've been watching this dude
before he stepped foot at Iowa.
I told the first time that I told somebody, I told Iowa about him when he was a sophomore. I'm like, this guy is going to be insane. I mean, he asked me to come over to his house and show him some move, like if he was going to play on the line, on the D line, if he was going to rush the passer at all. And we didn't warm up. We didn't walk. We didn't do nothing. And I'm like, just showing him, like, I take a couple sets and put my hand out. And he fires off, like, I don't know, the best defensive end I've ever seen. Like, he is not messing around at all. And I thought he's going to rip my face off the first rep. I'm like, after that, I'm like, Jack, timeout. I'm not playing football for like 3 months, and I'm definitely not starting today. This was when I think I'd finished my first or second year in the NFL. And I knew his dad. And if you talk to Jack, if you know Jack at all, it's no surprise that he's just an absolute freak show at football. And there's nothing the guy loves more. I mean, he just wants to rip everyone's face off.
Yeah.
What else do you want?
What else could you need?
Well, and I think he was a bit of a surprise at 19. I don't think a lot of people really saw him going in the first round.
Because he was the first linebacker off the board, right?
First one. And
he's just like a perfect Dan Campbell. Like, if you know Dan Campbell, it's like, he wasn't going to let that. He wasn't going to pass him off.
Those two are a match made in heaven. And I just think Jack is one of those guys where you see all the responses of just fans who are like, who the fuck is Jack Campbell? Why are we drafting? He's got like a second or third round grade, yada, yada, yada. They're going to look back in like 2 or 3 years when Jack is getting 150 tackles a year in the NFL. And they're going to be like, okay, that was a good pick. We'll give it to him. Give it to him on that one.
I mean, Jack Campbell can cover too. Like, if you talk to him,
he runs like a fucking deer.
He loves to cover. I mean, he can do all of like the physical gritty stuff, but like if you talk to him, he's like, I love covering guys. I'm like, okay, then you're a first round pick and you're going to play 100 years.
Yeah. I mean, he's actually one of those guys, like some of those big tight ends that are a problem for D coordinators to guard. It's like, you know, the safeties are too small. The linebackers can't run with them. It's like, he could be one of those guys where if you can hang around a Travis Kelce type dude, you are worth so much fucking money.
Yeah.
You're going to set you'll set the new whatever. You'll be the highest paid.
Imagine 4 years from now, Jack sets the standard for middle linebacker pay.
G-Bone, pull up the highest.
He just has linebacker to stay healthy. He just got to stay healthy.
That's the name of the game. That's the name of the game in the NFL. And you know all about that.
Yeah.
I mean, like, what do your workouts even look like? Like, are you ever coming close to even like 80 or 90% of your max lifts?
Not a chance.
No chance.
I didn't think so. I'll push a really heavy sled.
Yeah, that's good.
And then I just like to get in good shape and, you know, explosive power more than like, I haven't squatted since I got to the NFL.
Wow. That's amazing.
I think I'm done squatting forever too. I think it's
so you're terrible.
Done. So many better things. I got under the bar again a couple of weeks ago. I'm just like, there's just so many better options for you as far as risk benefit ratio, you know? Yep.
I would agree.
Roquan Smith currently highest paid.
How much?
Linebacker. $100 million extension, $45 million guaranteed.
Yeah, so he's like one of those linebackers that can run like a deer, though. You know that. I mean, he can.
So imagine in 4 years, Jack gets a
$120 million extension.
Yeah, I mean, just like, talk about, dude. And then you listen to the podcast, like, he's going to run for governor.
Yeah, as he should. Guy's a goat.
Does he have your vote?
What? Dude, he would absolutely run away with it.
Yeah, he would.
Yeah. I'll be walking around putting signs up.
Same. Dude, I'll be spray painting people's houses.
You're going to be the campaign manager? Ike, is Iowa home forever for you?
Manager? I think so.
Yeah.
I think so. I love Iowa.
It's a good place to live, man. It's a good place to live.
How about you, Kev?
I've thought about moving back towards Chicagoland, but more and more each day.
Right now?
Exactly, right? More and more each day is like, man, I think Iowa's got it pretty fucking good.
Kev, you're going to build.
I love Iowa, and then.
Kevin's going to build in Williamsburg next to Blythe. We just talked about it.
Yeah, Blythe's trying to recruit like the whole like 2013 to 2017 team.
It's true.
In Williamsburg, and then we can have an awesome like high school team when our kids all come of age.
Blythe literally said he's trying to live the every kid's dream of moving all of his friends to his town, and you just do the same thing all over again with your kids.
I told him if he gets the Paulsons there, then I'll consider it.
Unfucking real.
Like, if it wasn't Iowa, would it be Queen Creek, Arizona?
Dude, I love Arizona.
Right? Really, and do. How nice of a little community is Queen Creek?
Yeah. It's fantastic.
Yeah.
You went out there, Ikey?
Yeah, I went.
Yeah, while I was on my road trip.
Oh, yeah.
I couldn't believe that.
Just soul shattering.
I love that Olive Mill place.
Dude, that's one of Kaylee's business partners.
No way. That place
Olive Mill is in Kaylee's magazine. Yeah.
Yeah, that place is awesome. Queen Creek's awesome. We went on Easter. It was like Easter weekend. We walked to a little church that was in a school for Easter Sunday. Yep. Every person in there was awesome.
You know, Queen Creek is the spot, man. Yeah.
No, I would have no issue living there. I just don't know if I could do the summers there.
Oh. I get it. It's starting to get pretty hot.
It's so hot. Before we let you go, Ike, we probably have to get like a top or some of your favorite memories from Benton / I feel like we have to talk about food here. You're a big food guy. You love, give me your like top. If Ike's going to eat a meal, what's it going to be? And then and throw back on some memories at Benton Street as well.
All right. Are we talking meals in Iowa City?
This is your last meal.
It could be Iowa City, but it also could be like your death row meal.
You're getting put in the firing squad tomorrow. What are you eating tonight?
Shout out to you, Kev. This is a Chicago spot. RPM steak.
Yes.
You eaten there before?
I have. Yeah. I love all the RPMs. RPM.
We went to, when we played the Bears this year and we got stuck there because of that snowstorm. So we ate there two nights in a row. And So there's a steak. I don't even remember what the steak is, but that. Let's see, Benton.
We got to interject there for real quick because I want to hear this story. Because you guys get snowed in Chicago, and then Barstool River North just opens up the doors for the Bills, and the Bills have the whole place to themselves, right?
Yeah.
How was that?
It was fun, and it was. It was Christmas Eve or Christmas. I think it was Christmas Eve.
So it got pretty rowdy then.
It got a little rowdy. I mean, it was everyone. It was like the players, the training staff, the front office, the coaches. Like it was everybody was there.
Holy shit. It got naughty.
Yeah, wasn't Josh Allen's like making drinks for everybody and stuff?
Yeah. I mean, Josh paid for the whole thing.
What a fucking legend.
Yeah.
He makes so much money. It's unbelievable.
Yeah.
All right. By the way, I'm sure that steak place is amazing. And then getting into to eat it two nights in a row, it's like.
Yeah. It was a greedy move, but I mean, I had to do it.
You have to do it.
Yeah. Just a couple Benton memories. I mean, one that just randomly pops in my head just because it was fun with the boys was when we watched Game of Thrones with the futon out.
Oh, yeah.
like everybody just getting together in the living room. That music would turn on.
Have you been watching the new one, the House of the Dragon?
I haven't watched a TV show in literally years.
Dude, it's tough with kids, huh? Because you just play with the kids.
I just go to bed. I go to bed. Hang out with the kid, you go to bed. You're
such a better human than I am.
You don't have any kids. Drake, I mean, there's so many good memories of Drake just doing...
Give us your best
one. Doing and saying the most diabolical stuff I've ever heard. And then...
Just thinking of the one quote I gave to the group like last week.
Yo, that one has, you can't even say that one on this.
We get canceled. Our podcast would, that's the only thing that could cancel us is that.
I'd be in jail.
Yeah. Yeah.
Then the only, I'm not going to use, I don't even know how to, this is a person of a male that lived with us that is not one of like our group chat people. Okay. Uh-huh. This was before Drake moved in with us.
Yep.
And, this gentleman had had someone over the evening before, and my dad and I had just went to get breakfast, and we just got back to the house, and we're walking in the house, they're walking out of the house, and my dad, you know, just completely innocent, like, hey, mister, not going to say his name, is this your girlfriend? And it was the most awkward situation. To this day, like, it makes me cringe, and like, I'm pretty, I can handle a lot of cringe, but I didn't know what to do. I didn't know what to tell Big Diesel. So I just zipped around and went in the house and carried on with my day. Oh, it was bad.
No. This your girl, your dad is so innocent too, bro. Like,
oh yeah.
Like, hey, who's this fine young lady? Huh?
Yeah. Like, I was going to just see how they were doing, what they were going to do. I'm like, Pops, you have no idea.
Oh, by the way, your Pops, man, is Diesel.
Yeah, he's an animal. He's
my guy. He still hits the weights, doesn't he? He still works out.
He does. He doesn't really hit the weights, but he just probably runs.
Body weight,
a couple miles a day, a bunch of body weight stuff. Yeah,
yeah, he's your dad could beat ass, that's for sure.
Yeah.
Kev, Drake, hit him with anything else. Otherwise, we'll let the man go.
G-Bone, you got any questions, man? Before we leave,
where are the best buffalo wings in Buffalo?
Bar Bill. It's called Bar Bill, and you boys are always welcome out here. I rent an Airbnb. I got
come out.
Yeah, I got three bedrooms. So yeah, you guys are always welcome.
Drake,
I think walk-on's got to do a.
I was just gonna say, yeah, we could probably expense that. I mean, can we find a time to get to Buffalo and?
Cliff, I don't think you understand this. We are an entertainment company. If we do anything we want and just record it, we can expense.
Yep. I know.
I know. I've got two questions for you, Girth.
Yes.
First question. How are we going to get the clan up to where it needs to be? The Clash of Clans clan needs a little bit of upgrade. What are your strategies? You're the leader of the clan. Go.
I need my wife to get on her phone and I'll show her this clip. I need her to just do a couple things just to get us moving in the right direction. I've told her multiple times. She's not thrilled, but I'm working on that. And then, I mean, I need to get my attacks in. I need to silence Katie exposing me every time I get on there and just get to it.
I'm not going to lie. I love opening up a Katie Snapchat story and it's just Ike on his phone playing Clash of Clans.
I love it.
It makes me so happy.
I don't have Katie on Snap. I don't get to see those. That sounds fantastic.
Second question is, you and Katie are actually the ones that introduced me to the legendary game of Catan, which I brought to my high school friend group, which
phenomenal game.
Whenever we get together, we will play for 5 hours in a row. What is the best strategy and how can I take more money from my friends?
Okay. I'm a humble guy, but I am the best Catan player now. So I'm just going to start there.
All right.
This is my strategy. you got to get, I mean, obviously the numbers matter a lot, but I think getting the first, the best numbers that you can get, wheat, rock, and goat to start. And then,
oh, you're a cities guy, huh?
I mean, development cards and cities, because you can always get, and then your second lay, I think just best numbers.
Just whatever, best available. Your Mel Kiper's just grabbing best available off the board.
Yeah, just whatever's left on the board. And development cards are huge. They're sneaky. And then you can always trade for goat and wood and bricks late in the game. So you, if you're stacking rock, you're golden.
All right.
Stack rock.
Stack rock,
stack
baby.
Rocks. It's just good life advice right there.
Ike Girth Bucker, stack rocks. Oh, what a treat. I'm sad this is over. We definitely have to do it more frequently than we have so far.
Yeah, thanks for having me on, boys. I appreciate it. And it's good to catch up with you guys. Can't wait to see you at Bo's wedding.
Yeah,
it's so soon, boys.
Coming up quick. And the people, thanks for listening. Hope you all enjoyed Ikey Boy. And go give him a follow on the social medias. He's basically an influencer. He has wholesome content. And we'll see you in the next one. Till then, peace.
Peace.
Hey, thanks for listening to the show. If you want more, you can check us out on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube by searching Washed Up Walk-Ons. And if you're interested in supporting the show, head over to patreon.com/washedupwalkons, where you can find bonus podcasts, merchandise, and other cool perks. Best part, half of your subscription benefits the kids at UI Children's Hospital. We'll see you next time. Hawks by a million.